Reading from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses, it's already telling me, 13 to 25, and 2, 9 to 10. Listen for the word of God. Prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy as I am holy. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways, inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart, you have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is the good news that was announced to you. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. May God give us understanding of these words. To God be the hymn, the glory. Amen. Okay, now how are we going to do this? I want to know basically, are you hopeful or are you hopeless? Sophia was with us in De Winton this morning, and I thought maybe we could do, she paying attention to the sermon, I noticed, we could do a sort of back and forth. But we haven't had any practice time. So my next ploy on this, how to get this sermon rolling, is the question. My wife is here, and she said on the way here, I will tell you about mistakes that you made and correct you. So you want to do that, Betty? It's easier for me if you do it here and now rather than at home. Okay, I think that's not going to happen. I may hear at home anyway, mind you. For the background of this is really Easter. We're in the Easter season, right? Easter, which is the singing and dancing, that's the only possible response that we can make to Easter. We can't say, "All right, explain to me." Well, you can't do it. We cannot understand resurrection. The foreground is the hope that's derived from Easter, a hope that is lodged within us. Hope. And yet, to be realistic, come on, Ted, let's be realistic here. We're surrounded by what seems hopeless. We're surrounded by political, economic, social, and personal storms. Maybe not here. What about you? Any aches, pains, breaks, financial or family issues? Well, what about this congregation? Any differences of opinion, dissension, worries about the future? What about Alberta? What about Canada? Any concern relating to issues that might include what, First Nations, the environment, the economy, our relationship to the not always friendly giant that lives just south of the border? In other words, is everything okay with you? Is it hope or hopeless? Well, whatever the issues are, we do need to walk with hope in our pocket or purse. Or in the words of Thornton Wilder, we need hope as a climate of the mind. Climate of the mind. Could be a sermon title, couldn't it? The Apostle Paul called hope one of the big three. You know the big three. There's faith and love. And what's the other one? Faith. Anybody know? Anybody know? People that are de-wind are much noisier than you are.
Charity.
All right, which is, you know, that's faith, love, is charity, keros. The other one is hope. Are you mixed up or am I mixed up here? Faith, hope, and love, to get them in the order that comes with from 1 Corinthians. And hope, not the kind of pietistic hope that you hear sometimes say, "Oh, well, it'll all work out fine." I've even had funerals in the past where people said, "Well, yeah, that this child has died, is it all for the best?" What? No, not that kind of hope. Authentic hope knows that everything changes and challenges. Everything ensures that we do not hold on to the present, to the here and now, as the be-all and the end-all, which we're always tempted to do. No, it'll change. How it will change? I don't know. May know better after the next election. Hope requires engagement with the world, not disengagement. Authentic hope knows that we have changes and challenges. Everything ensures that we do not hold on to the here and now as the be-all and the end-all. What is will be tomorrow's diet as well. For we're always and everywhere promised, falsely promised, by allures and promotions of our culture. If you only buy this, if you only do this, then everything will be okay. Jesus said words that I find are significant for me. I came that you may have life, abundant life, life lived with eyes wide open here and now, while at the same time living in a kind of alternative future, which we call the kingdom or reign of God, or we recognize a leader whom we elect, but then there's God as well. And this morning I stumbled through a passage from 1 Peter with its background of early Christians who were being persecuted. The hard facts were there. And Paul also had a difficult time. Imagine seeing Paul. Imagine thinking about Paul. And sorry, Keith, I shouldn't have turned my head, I know. So Paul, if you saw him on the street and said, "Hi, Paul, okay, have a nice day." And Paul said, "Yeah, well, so far it's not going very well. Let's see, I have my persecutors, you know, and I've been beaten, and I have spent time in jail, and I was involved in a shipwreck, and followers who are kind of yanny, not so good all of the time as my help." No, but here's the thing. I travel with hope in my pocket. When the storms come, hope comes with me. It makes a difference. Have a nice day, Paul. So, for all of us, as we face individual, family, and societal problems, pain, suffering, and death, yet through it all runs hope. Glorious hope. Hope in Christ that stands with us and tips the balance. You read the book? Yeah. Wonderful book, a fine balance. Could be a sermon title, couldn't it? Throughout Lent, we're reminded of sin, pain, and problems, but all of this is in the context of hope. 40 days of Lent, yes, but you have learned that the 40 days does not include Sundays. So Sundays is the reinforcement of the hope that is within us. Good Friday, yes, but Sundays are like the hand on the scale and tips toward the future positively. It is the naive expectation that all will eventually work out. It's the conviction that God will always be with us, whatever happens, whatever happens. And faith, we know from the New Testament, is not a matter of seeing, but it is to live in a reasonable expectation of the future. This hope does not let us escape from life, but rather strengthens us to face the fires of the future and hold us in balance. Hope keeps open the presence. It's important, but it's also tentative, provisional, as the here and now is not God's last word. And so we pray, "Your kingdom come," and the next line is, your will be done. At our best, we put our hands in the hands of God in a hope that gives us courage and strength to live abundant life now. Helen Keller was asked once about her loss of vision. Wonderful story, as most of you will know. when she was asked, is there anything worse than losing your sight? She said, no. Or yes, she did. I could have lost my vision. I could have lost hope. And isn't it true that many people hope that armies and fortresses and leaders and lovers and faster planes and bigger bombs will secure our future? Yes, even give us peace. Many have concluded that it's gold and silver that will protect us through all times in our future, but these hopes are limited. Foolish, futile. They may lead to an immediate high, but they always let us down and lead us to dissatisfaction and despair. I remember a young person who every time she got a little bit down, which we all do, she went and bought a pair of shoes. Well, it didn't do very much except for a few minutes of high, but it sure messed up the shoe rack. Something else. I think this is really important. Not that what I said earlier wasn't important, but hope is dangerous. It's dangerous because it anticipates change. It does not settle for the life and style of the present. Hope refuses to accept the reading of reality, which is the majority opinion. Hope is subversive in that it limits the grandiose potential of the present and dares to announce the present, in which we all have made commitments, is always in question. And hope is so dangerous that every dictator, whatever color or background, political ramifications, whatever dictator is in power, that dictator tries to stamp out hope, because hope does not take the present as the norm. Hope anticipates what God is doing, and that is, it is dangerous to pretend otherwise. Hitler invaded, we have lots of stories like this, but when Hitler invaded Norway, the Nazis imprisoned lots of people, including Lutheran Bishop Berggrav. And they put Bishop Berggrav in a concentration camp. Not unusual. That's where sometimes in some places all clergy should be. Don't comment on that. But that didn't silence him. They locked him in solitary confinement. He still was not silenced. At last, the Gestapo chief threatened him. If you don't stop giving us trouble, we will line you up on the wall and we will shoot you. And Bishop Berggrav very calmly asked, and what will you do to me after that? That's the song of hope. What will you do to me after that? Sounds like a sermon title to me. The hope that is ours is not a hope that we can clearly or articulate with ease. For as Paul wrote, in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, We wait for it with patience. Paul again, we are ministers of hope. And that hope, Paul continued, in various places, we know by experience, leads to confidence, a spring of ceaseless joy, courage, freedom, a state of peace with God, love, and an anchor of the soul. That's what Paul carried along with him wherever he went. Hope in God means not having to define the world and its future by our own resources, but rather hope allows us to anticipate the future. I think it is true that we live in a kind of balance, life lived in balance, but a balance that tips towards hope and tips away from despair to lead us not hopeless, but a people who are always hopeful. Amen. Take a moment now for meditation.